We're living in days when there's an increasing awareness that this world is under the influence of the prince and power of the air, namely the enemy of our souls. But you know, there's good news in today's study of 1 John chapter 4. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're here today as we make our way through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, gives us really good insight into a verse that fills us with confidence, even in dark days. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Wow. Talk about confidence building. Well, we'll learn today that we don't have to battle on our own. We go in God's strength. Dr. McGee gives us a hint behind his passion for Bible study. He says, "I try to get people into the Word of God because I have seen the Spirit of God open people's hearts, and it protects them from this world." Now, God's protection might look different depending on where you live in this world. You know, I'm grateful that Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, is in the studio today and can give us insight into how God is working today. So, Greg, what area of the world is your heart on today?
Well, thanks to the World Prayer Team, it directs my heart and thousands of others of people who love Through the Bible to different regions of the world every week. And so this week, our World Prayer Team and my heart is in Eastern Africa, mm-hmm. and we will be praying for countries where Through the Bible is making a big impact, countries like Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, and Madagascar.
Yeah, such difficult places to live, whether you're a Christian or not, sometimes just making it through the end of the day. Obviously, Islam has a huge impact in that part of the world, but Through the Bible is there.
It is there, Stephen, and we're so grateful, and we get great responses. So let's just jump in, first of all, to a country that has suffered tremendous, tremendous trauma, and that is Rwanda. It's a tremendously hurting country, but God is allowing us to be part of the healing. And this letter tells a lot. It says, "I am confused by the teaching taught in our local church, saying that our ancestors' traditions have influence over our lives, even if we are saved. Is it possible for a child of God to be possessed by the powers of ancestors, whereas through Christ we are becoming new creations?"
See, this is just such a great example, number one, that Through the Bible needs to be in this part of the world, because you get people teaching this goofy synchronistic or whatever it's called.
Syncretistic,
right. All of that stuff. And yet here's a guy who's a believer and knows, and he's referencing scripture to try and figure out what his false teaching pastor is saying or not saying.
Yeah, this is such an important role that God has given us around the world. Now, here's another one from Rwanda. Maybe you could share.
Yeah, it says, "Please pray for me to live for the Lord. I have been wandering in this world, drinking alcohol, committing adultery, but now I need your prayers for me to change. I trust Jesus as Lord and Savior." And that's just such an encouragement, too, because here you have one letter that talks about, we're probably not going to have a pastor teaching something like that in our churches,
that
somebody's going to have to dissect, but you certainly have people committing adultery, having a difficulty with drugs and alcohol and things like that. So as different as we are, the more we are the same and need the gospel.
It's so true, Steve, and I love to say that. You go around the world and you realize that human beings are all the same. And guess what? That's why we commit the same sins, because when people are in pain, they run, and Dr. McGee teaches us this, they run to drugs, they run to alcohol, they run to illicit sexual relationships. And so this is not a surprise. And it's so wonderful, though, that the Holy Spirit has broken through in this person's life. Now, let's go to Ethiopia, a place where there's been famines, there's been all kinds of economic problems. This person from our Aromo TTB broadcast says, "I was a regular listener to this radio program until I moved for military service. I missed this program for longer than a year because I was not allowed to hear and read any religious programs. Although I live in that hard situation, my heart is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your prayer support that God will make a way for me to worship him at any time."
Wow. Such an encouragement, such a faithful believer who wants fellowship, can't have it, and yet gets it in large part through the Bible and is prevented and expresses that. So, Greg, why don't you pray for us as we think about this Aromo listener, think about those folks in Rwanda, the false teaching, so much to be prayed for in that part of the world, and such an impact that Through the Bible is having. Let's pray that it continues.
Father, we trust you to get your word to the four corners of the earth through our humble efforts, and we pray that you will meet the needs of people all through East Africa, all these countries that we named. Would you minister your gospel, your word to people? In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we return back to this section that we said that there are certain hurdles that you have to get over in this passage because it's rather difficult. And one is the hurdle, of course, that this is an area where Satan definitely would not want you and me to be warned concerning him. And that's what this passage does. You see, John's been talking about that believers are to love each other. But friends, they've come in to us, as John made very clear. He says, they've come in and they've gone out too, because they were not of us. And we need to beware of these false teachers, false prophets that are abroad today. And the mark is they deny the incarnation. And when you deny the incarnation, the deity of Christ, then you deny his work upon the cross, because it all rests upon who he is and the attempt to tear down by complimenting him. You know, the old saying is, they damn him with faint praise and praise him with faint damns. And that's the way that the Lord Jesus is being treated today in many circles. But he is who he claimed to be, God of very God. Now, he's saying to God's children that they ought not to be deceived. But again, the question arises, how are we to tell? Well, the objective way you're to tell is they deny the incarnation. Now you have the internal, the subjective evidence. And what is that? Well, here in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, there's no reason for you to be taken in by this satanic teaching or the denial of the deity of Christ. I had a man that came to my door, and he handed me an envelope in which he had a gift for our radio ministry. And then he told me, he says, I used to be an officer in the church, and a high officer, by the way. Then he says, I got saved, and I got my eyes open. And he says, I knew I was in the wrong place, because he said, they were denying the deity of Christ. And this denomination is a denomination that I was brought up in. And he said, I found out that they were denying the deity of Christ. So he said, I got out. Why did he get out? Well, he's indwelt by the Spirit of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So that there's no excuse for you to be taken in today by a false teacher or false prophet or false teaching. The thing to do is to go to God about the matter. I had a dear lady right here in Southern California that she told me that she began to listen to me, and she was very critical at first. In fact, the matter is, began to ridicule. She was in a cult, and she felt like what I had to say contradicted what she was being taught, and it sure did. But she began to test it by the Word of God. Now, this woman was really a born-again Christian, but she got caught up in a cult. But she got her eyes open. Why? Because the Spirit of God is there to teach. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can overcome all this false teaching today because of that. Now, every Christian, and I need to be very definite here, is indwelt by the Spirit of God. This is no ifs, ands, or perhapses, or buts about it. Every child of God. Listen to Paul in Romans 8. He says here in Romans 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, or since the Spirit of God dwells in you. He wasn't raising a question about whether the Romans were saved or not. He's actually saying they are. Since the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And that is the very wonderful thing that back in the fifth chapter, he had said is one of the present results of being justified by faith. He says that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. This love of God, that is God's love for us, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is given to believers. Now, that's not the only place. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 19. What, Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. Now, of course, Paul must be talking about some super-duper saints, some that have really arrived, spiritually minded, and those that were living on a high plane. No, you know who he's talking about? He's writing to the Corinthians, and he's just called them carnal. He's called them babes in Christ. He's just about called them everything that they should not have been, but yet they were. And the thing is that every child of God is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, since that is true, and that's the reason you don't need an angel to appear to you tonight to tell you that you're in the wrong place. The thing is that you need to have the Holy Spirit teach you. And friends, the Holy Spirit teaches through His Word. And you can't just stay away from the Bible and be ignorant of it and ignore it and expect to have the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. And that's the reason that we're trying to get people in the Word today, because we're reading these letters that reveal that the Spirit of God opens people's hearts and it protects them from this world that we're living in. We're living in a big, bad world, let me tell you. And today there's a lot that's false that's going on in the world, and we need to be warned concerning it. And we can test it. Now, here's a test. It's just like putting litmus paper down in a solution to tell whether it is an acid or a base. Believe me, this is a test that'll work, these twofold things. The one that's teaching, does he deny the incarnation? Well, that's the spirit of Antichrist, friend. You're not going to follow that. That's contrary to Christ, although it may imitate him. Generally, these false teachers are very attractive persons. Many of them have charisma, and they make a fleshly appeal to folk. But they can be tested. The Holy Spirit is there to be our teacher and our guide. Now, John, and I love the way he does it, he just gets right down to where we are, right, where we live today. And he says here, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That is, these false teachers. And certainly they get a following. The occult and the cults are growing lots faster than Christianity is growing. Why? Because they have the advantage of appealing to the flesh, which we do not have. And I think it's tragic today to have Christians using fleshly means to draw even a crowd in. We need to be very careful of the methods that we use. Now, if they're fleshly methods, we need to recognize God can't bless that at all. We need to be very sure that the Word of God is being given out. I don't care whether several thousand people come to your church, friends. That's not the important thing I'm interested in. Not how many that come, but is the Word of God being given out? And is it given out in the power of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God can take it and use it? That's the thing that's important today. And it's not a great deal of pious promotion today about some cause and some sentimental appeal that causes you to give. The question is the Word of God going out there? Are they getting results? You wouldn't want to invest money in a company that's got a nice, beautiful building, and they put up a nice front, and the president of it is a very handsome fella, and he is certainly very personable, and he has charisma. If you're going to invest in that company, you want to know whether it's making money or not. Is it getting results? Is something happening there? That's the thing that's important, and I think God intends us to use a little consecrated common sense when we are dealing in the area of religion. They are of the world, the worldly crowd. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, when we were using Cain and Abel as illustrations, that is, John used them, when he meant that Cain was not righteous, he was not God's child, we didn't mean to say, and John didn't mean to say he wasn't religious. Why, he brought an offering. In fact, I have a notion his altar was much more attractive than Abel's offering was. Cain's was beautiful. It had fruit there. It had the fruit of the field. But Abel's was bloody. It was sickening to some people, nauseating to others. But believe me, that's the one God accepted, you see, because it recognized the sin of man and the need of a Savior. And Cain did not recognize that at all, because the flesh depends on itself, doesn't depend on God at all. Now, will you notice here that John is making it very clear to us that the important thing is that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. That's important, my friend. And he says here in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. By this know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I've learned in my ministry, and this is the illustration that I use, I always would tell the people, I didn't mind speaking out and saying to them, I use the Bible as a Geiger counter. You know, a Geiger counter tells you whether there's some uranium there in the rocks and in the soil. And so I just run the Geiger counter over a congregation. And the Bible is what I use. It's the Geiger counter. And I want to tell you, God's children will always respond to it. That was my confidence. And it's my confidence on this radio that God's people are going to hear. And you know something? I don't expect the other crowd to hear. Now, if they don't want to hear, all they got to do is turn the button on the radio. And we never ask them to give anything. We ask God's people to support God's work. After all, that ark was carried on the shoulders of priests. That ark speaks of Christ. And friends, if we're going to take him to the world, we got to carry him on our shoulders. That's the thing that we'll have to do. Now, John was sure of who the Lord Jesus was. John could say this, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he gives the purpose of his gospel. Many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. John had indubitable, indestructible, inevitable evidence that Jesus was who he claimed to be. John knew that, and that is something you and I need to be a little more sure of today. Notice what he says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, this is a very wonderful section, by the way. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. Now, let's be very careful here what we're talking about. Having given a warning against false teachers who are not to be loved, let's be clear on that. Certain false teachers, I don't pray for them. I'm not giving any pious platitude today about, oh, I'll pray for them. I'm not praying for them. They're the children of the devil. I'm not praying for them. I'm praying for God's people and God's children. And I'm praying for a lost sinner that's going to turn to Christ and will turn to Christ if I can just get the word to him. So having given a warning, you're against these false teachers and they're not to be loved, he returns now to the theme of this section. Believers are to love one another. And now let's be careful. What are you talking about when you say love? Well, I've dealt with this before. The word for love is not eros. It's not sex that we're talking about. This love he's talking about is agapao love. It's not sentimental. It's not sexual. And it's not social love that he's talking about. It's supernatural love. It's what the Holy Spirit can put in our hearts. And only the Spirit of God can make real to us the love of God. And then only the Spirit of God can enable us to extend that love to others. Now, the norm here, as he makes it clear, is the love of God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Now, that's another test of whether you're a child of God. Really today. Now, I didn't ask you if you love your papa and your mama. I'm not asking you if you love your wife or your husband or your children or your kissing cousins. I'm not asking you that. But I am asking this. Do you love other believers? And maybe somebody's going to say, well, I can love some of them. Well, that's helpful. You're moving in the right direction. There's some of them are pretty unlovely, let me tell you. And I can say this, we can love them in the sense we could have a concern for them. And I think we can do that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to put our arms around them. I don't think that's essential today. There's too much of that in Christian circles. And it's all right for Hollywood when they meet to greet each other with a kiss. But we're told to greet each other with a holy kiss. And that's a little different kind of a kiss, by the way. And I don't see very much of the holy kissing going on. But the way you can show your love is your concern for others. That is going to result in help. Now, he gives another definition of God here. God is love. Verse 8. We've already had the definition before. God is light. Now we come to this second major division. We haven't just come to it. We've been in it ever since we were way back yonder in chapter 2. But now we're in this section here where we're given the definition. God is love. And that's the norm of love. God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now, he gives an illustration of it as Paul does. You say, how does God love me? Well, you won't find that love in nature. You find a bloody tooth and a sharp claw. And that's what nature reveals today. But you will find the love of God at Calvary. You'll find the love of God manifested how? Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. Now, God has proven his love. And as Paul says, he laid down his life for us. That's the proof of it. And for a righteous man, some might even dare to lay down their life. Well, I don't know whether you could get anybody to lay down your life for you today. I think I'd have a little problem there. But God has proven his love. He gave his Son to die for you, and he gave him to die for you not after you won a Sunday school bar or attending Sunday school, not missing a Sunday, for about 5 years. God loved us when we were yet sinners, while we were without strength, while we were lost, while we were absolutely unlovely. God loved us. And the explanation is found in him and not found in us, because we are not lovely, friends. And some of us don't seem to ever get very lovely, by the way. Now, I see I've come to the end of our program again today, and we'll pick right up there next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Isn't that an amazing truth? God loves us even when we're still sinners, even when we're without strength, when we're lost, when we're absolutely unlovely. In spite of it all, God loves us. Let's think about that today. You know, if you've never responded to God's love, which was made obvious when he sent his Son Jesus to die in your place as payment for your sin, why not right now? There's no better time to turn to God and say, I don't know a lot, but I know I need you. If you want to read more about God's offer of salvation, why don't you go to ttb.org and click on the banner, How Can I Know God? There you're going to find several resources written by Dr. McGee for you to read as well as listen to, including Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation. It's an amazing booklet, and Dr. McGee tells you about the great love that God has for you, and then turns straight to the Word of God to prove that there's nothing you can do to earn his love or salvation except believe in him. It really is faith plus nothing that will bring you into an eternal relationship with the creator of our universe. Isn't that amazing? So don't wait. Visit ttb.org and you can click on How Can I Know God, or you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put a few of these resources in the mail. And for those who are already walking with the Lord, I highly suggest that you check out the resources that we offer at ttb.org as well, from archives of Dr. McGee's audio messages to his notes and outlines, and more than 100 of his booklets available to download for free. So if you're looking to deepen your study of God's Word, we can help you out. One booklet that I really would like to suggest is How to Have Fellowship with God. It's a classic teaching in 1 John chapters 1 through 9, and it shares important information on how to have sweet fellowship with the Father. Do you want to draw closer to God and experience the true joy of a tight-knit relationship with him? Who wouldn't? Well, then download today How to Have Fellowship with God. Again, all of these resources by Dr. McGee are designed to help you in your walk with the Lord, and they're available when you visit ttb.org. And of course, if you need help finding what you're looking for, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. That's all for today. I'm Steve Schwetz, so grateful for you, as together we take the whole word to the whole world.
Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole word to the whole world.